Good morning, everybody. This is the KFBK Outdoor Show. I'm Bob Sims. Thank you for tuning in this morning. Well, it's a free fishing day, one of two the Department of Fish and Wildlife allow you to fish without a license. You can do that today. Try to take advantage of the opportunity. We'll have Don Paganelli tell us about a Fishing in the City program later in the program. It's happening today. This is where the Department of Fish and Wildlife, along with people like Don Paganelli, who offer their time, they provide anywhere from 50 to 60 to 70 rods and reels at specific lakes within the city. I think it's Howe Park and Mather Park today. The department plants catfish. Everybody catches fish. Normally, everybody 16 years of age and older need a license. Today, that will not be the case. So even if you don't fish, this is perfect for parents who don't fish or single parents who don't fish and want to take their kids to experience something like that. You can go in the city. You can do it. You don't need a rod and reel or a license, and these people will help you catch fish. It is a wonderful thing for everybody, especially kids. So that happens today. It's going to be hot, however. And, normally I don't even bother with this, but just thinking of what's hot and what's not, I'll tell you what's not. Why do I make the mistake of watching a Giants game before I go to bed? And then they're ahead by 5-2 going into the seventh inning, and then lose 11-5 or something? I mean, what a bad team. It's hard to be a baseball fan in the Bay Area right now. However, that being said, thank God I don't hang my hat on that too much. There's going to be a lot of good things waiting for people up in the mountains. A lot of good planted trout programs are really putting their best foot forward this weekend to make the last holiday weekend of summer a good one for everybody. Just remember, if you're not above 7,000 feet, it's going to get warm. It's going to get very warm, and just don't plan to do too much during the middle of the day. but we'll have reports on a lot of those areas, including, the whole Gold Lake region, and even an area that's going to be warm that has big trout like Davis Lake. You might want to fish that early in the morning and be out there by 9 or 10, and then go to Gold Lake. They're not that far apart from each other. But anyway, you get the picture. The good news is, by the way, we're going to have reports down there on the Gold Lake Basin and some other lakes and streams in that area, as well as get a little report on the American River up above Forest Hill, back in the canyons there, up at Convict Lake. And, of course, Markleyville will have reports on all those today. And what's important about today is just to let you know what they've done, because after this weekend, everything will be gone but the fish. And they're putting an awful lot of fish in. And then the people will be gone, and it's time for the fishermen to come out. So anyway, salmon fishing, for the first time I can really say, in the ocean and at a couple places in our rivers, is pretty doggone good. We had another little slowdown in the ocean this week. We've been talking for a couple of weeks. This is what happens. You get a slowdown, then it bounces back just like it was. Then you get a slowdown, and then it bounces back, but maybe not quite as good as what it was. And then you get a slowdown, and then it bounces back, but not quite. That's what's happening now. When that happens, the party boats are the first to suffer. Not that they don't catch a lot of fish, but because they take more people, you think you only get one fish a rod. Well, that might be 20 fish. That's a pretty good day for a boat, any boat. Whereas a six-packer, they may take six people, no more than six people, but most of them take, three or four. That means 6 to 8 fish. You got your limits. So, and I know R.J. Waldron, who skippers the Sundance out of Emeryville, he's been getting limits most of the time. So, and the fish are getting a little bit bigger out in the ocean. That's another sign that they're getting ready to stage to come up the river. Now, go up, clear up the river, and you've got a little surprise for people on the McCollumy River. Now, these fish don't usually come in till October. It's kind of a later run like the American. But there's a few fish in the McCollumy. Now, you're not going to go way down by Tower Park and catch a bunch of salmon. But you go upstream, and if you don't run into crowds, which you probably will after today, up at the mouth of the Cosunas, there's some salmon in that area. But I tell you, as soon as it starts getting pounded, those fish will vacate and move up. So anyway, that's unusual, but always a welcome sight. The Feather River, a lot of fish being taken there. And finally, we can say the Upper Sacramento River up by Redding is, or Anderson specifically, is really pretty doggone good right now. They're catching 5 fish, 8 fish on the boats, and that is good fishing. So we'll get a report there as well. Of course, the Dove opener was yesterday. And it seems like a strange year, but I've heard a lot of people talk about a humiliating experience. Sometimes we take Dove for granted. Well, you better not, because they can be pretty hard to hit. Anyway, we've got a few reports on that. But it sounds like everybody did quite well. I mean, of course, the limit's 15 birds. Everybody did quite well, but not necessarily limits. Kind of interesting. You would have thought this year, you know, the biggest enemy to dove hunters is the week before the nighttime temperatures plummet and a lot of the birds vacate. I mean, they can be down in Fresno in, 2 or 3 hours where it's a lot warmer at night. So think of it that way. But anyway, that didn't happen this year. But dove opener, like every year, some places are just red hot. Others just depends on the crops around, the patterns a bird have taken all summer to get into, that kind of thing. So anyway, it's a fun way to start the upland game season, okay? Comanche Lake, we'll get a little report there on trout. I know the bass fishing has been good. Pardee, they're still catching kokanee there. Still doing it. My goodness, it's one of those things that this is a late year for kokanee. They're still catching kokanee at Hellhole and some nice ones up to 18 inches. And Union Valley, not quite as big, but, usually by this time they're very difficult to catch because they're in the spawning mode. Well, everything's late this year. I mean, I think the ocean salmon are late too. So there you have it. But anyway, we'll get a report on the Feather right at 6 o'clock from Rob Reimers. And stripers are, you know, here's another thing that took a little lull. Everybody's catching these fish, mostly schoolie fish. And I was out there a week and a half ago and did quite well, but no big fish, you know, maybe 3 or 4 pounds. And now they're starting to catch big fish again. So we'll check with Mark Wilson on that, okay? So basically, all that and more coming up in the next 2 hours and 45 minutes on the KFBK Outdoor Show. Thanks for being here. Welcome back. Well, just as the weather starts to settle down a little bit and they get a couple of days of good albacore fishing out of Fort Bragg, Barry Canavero, who spent the summer up there, came home to Rio Vista. So let's find out what he's done since he's been home. Good morning, Barry.
Good morning, Bob.
Well, how was your last week up at Fort Bragg?
Actually, it was pretty good. We had a dynamite albacore trip. I don't know where you got information about 2 day. You could only get 1 day in a row.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Well, I heard it earlier in the week, so I just assumed there might have been another day in there.
No. Although you might get a couple of days in this weekend, but, you know, it's not the greatest of weather, but it is doable for sure. We ended up last Sunday. We went, and we had to go 52 miles.
Mm.
We went to our numbers, we thought, by looking at the shots and seeing where the warm water was. There was a little pocket of water, about 40 miles. We went there, and we could not get out of 58, 59-degree water. And then we heard from a friend of ours up there, and he was 7 miles south, and he was getting them. So we went over there, and as soon as we got over there, it was the most beautiful crystal blue water you want to see.
Wow.
And it was 62, 63 degrees. We dropped them in. We had a triple right away, and we stayed in that area for a couple hours for 25 fish. So it was pretty good fishing.
That's very good fishing. That's amazing. As you know, I've been trying to go albacore fishing forever, and I've never made it because whenever we planned it, the weather's held us back. But I would like to experience just exactly what you just said, that with that clear water and...
absolutely beautiful. I mean, it was, and the sun was out. It was a crazy day. It was clear on the way out, and we got out about 25, 30 miles, I guess, and then a fog bank came in, and then it stayed foggy. And when we made that move, that's when the fog left. And, I mean, we were in blue water, but nothing like we were when we went south a little further. It was absolutely crystal blue. And you could see the fish down there and stuff. It was good. And but then the wind comes up again. But the water has moved in a little bit now. Guys are going today and tomorrow. Got some south wind coming, too, so that's not really fun to be out there in. But I don't know. Whatever. It is a shame because this year the albacore, which we've been trying for the last 4 years, you know, I mean, it was great albacore fishing up there for, you know, I don't know, say 5, 6, 7 years ago. It was just great.
Yeah.
And then it just went bad. It went around us. And this year they held in Fort Bragg area from the last weekend of June all the way till right now. But you couldn't get to them.
Yeah.
And, you know, so... whatever, we did have a lot of fun. We did some salmon fishing this week. Actually, the salmon fishing at Fort Bragg, now this is nothing like San Francisco.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's not as many boats, of course, and you're fishing in, you have to almost have a downrigger. We caught fish in, we were in about like 109 feet of water and fishing them on the bottom stop at 75 feet and, you know, getting them deep where the party boats normally can't get down that deep. And there's really only one party boat up there that fishes salmon, and he was fishing in tight to the reef, and he had a pretty good week getting them in close. But you know, when you hear salmon fishing up there, it's not like it was a few years ago where you could double trip a day, you get limits. If you got a fish or rod, that's pretty good. And the difference, of course, most of them all nice big fish. I mean, everything we got was 18, 20 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, really just nice fish. And not very far. You come out of the under the bridge to the red buoy and then go up about a quarter of a mile and drop them in and just stay right in that area. And, you know, and it's not fast fishing, but... it wasn't bad, and we were fishing on about a 4-foot lump, you know. I mean, very fishable. There was no wind on it. It was really good. So, you know, and then, you know, you got your rock cods that if you fish half a day salmon, of course, the best thing to do is go get your rock cod first, but it just seems like you do better on the salmon on the first thing, first light of the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we are back in Isleton now. Ready to get going here.
Oh, good timing, except for the weather. The fishing has picked up again, and now we're getting a few bigger fish, you know.
Yeah, well, I hope so. I just, you know, need some people to call and book. We are ready to go. We got back Thursday afternoon, and as we came down the hill, over 20, you know, it was like we left, and it was... you know, like 53 degrees, and it just, you watch your temperature on your truck, it just goes up as you come on down, cools off a little bit going through Santa Rosa, and then got back down and got home. But, you know, it kind of feels good after being in that cold for so long.
Yeah. Well, I know what you mean. I mean, it's hard for people here to say, oh, God, the heat felt kind of good, but you know, you sit there and shiver and shake long enough, it's going to feel good. I mean,
people don't really, you know, unless you go up there and stuff. I mean, when the sun goes down, if the sun comes out at Fort Bragg, when it goes down, and if there's a little breeze, I mean, you're putting your sweatshirt on, sweats on, and, you know, you turn the heater on in the trailer, and it's unbelievable. But anyhow, we had a good season. Without the wind, it would have been a very good season. And so we're home and ready to get going here.
Well, you know, you, of course, you're just in time for they're starting to catch a few more salmon accidentally trolling for stripers, specifically down by the West Bank a little bit. So that can always happen, too. And I know that they're catching salmon in Isleton. Depends on if a little school comes through.
Yeah, well, I mean, of course, that's until probably last year was, boy, the Rio Vista Bastard every weekend. Remember, the salmon just went wild.
Yeah. Well, I think it's going to be like that again because I think the salmon are late this year. I mean, think of it, Barry. The fishing in the ocean is still pretty good. I mean, we've had our slowdowns and everything, and the party bones aren't necessarily getting full limits, but they're getting still awful close to a fish per rod, maybe a little bit more. A lot of the six-packers are getting limits. You don't hear that in September hardly ever down in the Bay Area. So it just seems like things are just a little late.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they can't complain, San Francisco. But, I mean, they had the salmon almost the whole season.
The whole season.
It was good.
Nobody's complaining down there, I guarantee you.
No, I'm sure they're not. And it's for what the reasons maybe are some of the things that they did by planting at the North Tower and planting down by the bay are the reason that some of that's happening.
Well, trucking the fish had a huge impact.
Yeah, maybe Department of Fish and Game might understand that and see that, but I doubt it. But, you know, it would be nice. So get them past those pumps, and maybe they could survive.
Yeah, well, you know, they did a study years ago, and I kept that survey, and then I don't know, it's back in the files somewhere. But it shocked me how few salmon smolts made it to the west end of the delta.
Right.
In other words, X amount is going to make it there without the pumps. This is how many make it with the pumps. There's just absolutely no doubt about it is what has ruined the salmon runs in the Sacramento River, and that's the pumps. Never mind this ocean conditions, the predation, and everything else. If the pumps weren't pumping at the wrong time, we wouldn't even be having a conversation about it.
Right. I mean, it's so easy to see, but, you know.
It's just political.
That's
so
right.
So our illustrious leaders will never really own up to it, and they think it's ridiculous, and Brown will just tell you to shut up about it. And they all have their agendas, and it's political, and the salmon are the ones being hurt, and they're not done hurting them, even though they just formed a great alliance. All, you know, our resources secretary came out of his hiding and said, oh, how he and the water users and the Bureau of Reclamation and Department of Water formed this salmon group to better the salmon habitat and all this. And I'm thinking, why didn't you do this 10 or 20 years ago like everybody thought? It's just a cover-your-butt type of thing right now. I mean, I'm glad they're doing it because anything that's good for the salmon is good, but it's just a covering their political behinds is what it's all about right now at this point. And it's a sad state of affairs.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, we've been preaching for years. I mean, the fishing in this area or anywhere in the state of California is so much money put in to the recreation part of it, but they don't do anything. You know, I mean, the loss of the striped bass, loss of the salmon. The Delta used to be thriving with business and stuff, and it's just not there anymore. Yeah. I went by Vieira's coming home yesterday. I was putting my house trailer away, and there was nobody there to speak of. And usually that place is sold out.
Yeah.
The whole month of September and stuff.
Yeah.
And that's all due to the fishing not being as good.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, they...
Of course, after this weekend, usually, you know, we used to say after Labor Day, the Delta's back to us, the fishermen get the Delta back.
Well, it's back to us without the numbers and all that kind
That's
of stuff.
Right.
But let's face it, it's just not what it used to be. And I'm afraid the people that can change it just don't care. And with that, we're out of time, Barry. So, hey, have a good first week back, huh? We'll talk to you next week.
Okay. Thanks, Bob.
Bye-bye. Barry Canivore, Barrow Fish Hookers Sport Fishing to book a trip for stripers and eventually salmon. Give them a call, 916-777-6498. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Well, the first week of September always means there's a steelhead or at least half pounders. In the lower reaches of the Klamath River, this year is no exception. You know, about 3 weeks ago, we had one heck of a good run of fish come in, a lot of half-pounders and a lot of adults, and some of those adults up to like 9 pounds. You know, you're looking when you're out there for a nice adult 3 to 5 or 6 pounds. When you get them up that big, that's really something. I mean, the Klamath has changed in that regard. They didn't used to get fish that big 20, 30 years ago, but I'm not one to question it, that's for sure. But anyway, without the salmon fishing there and the salmon fishermen, you don't get as many reports. The fly fishermen love to go into that area, and they're kind of closed-mouthed about it. They have their own little network of things. But I do know there are tons of half-pounders right now in the lower Klamath. And as usual, it's from Blue Creek on down. Now, what this means is, if they're not all concentrated at Blue Creek, is that even with this warm weather, there's more water, and the water is cooler. And these half-pounders, even though they like the cooler water, they can survive and thrive in warmer water. They've only spent a few 100,000 years evolving into doing that. So, you know, for year, my whole life I've been going up to the Klamath River when the water temperature is in the 70s and catching steelhead, half pounders. And you don't do it all the time, but you get in riffles. That's why they love riffles. There's oxygenated water there. As the water cools off, they spread out throughout the river and they get in deeper runs. But it's just fun to go find them. There's not a lot of access on the lower Klamath. You know, to really fish it properly, you need a boat, and most preferably you need a jet boat or at least an outboard with an outboard jet, and you can have a ball up there. And those same fish will be evolving into the Trinity River and further up the Klamath. Like usually the first week in October, the area around Orleans on the Klamath River starts really getting going. And just above that, of course, is Soames Bar above Ishipishi Falls. There'll be some fish there. In the Trinity, they get into the Hooper Indian Reservation, and they spread out through all the good water in that reservation and then make their way on up. But anyways, the whole month of September, things are happening. And if there's any cool water to be had, that's just going to enhance the fishing. But it looks like a pretty good run of fish. Now, with every run of half-pounders, there is definitely some adults. And some of these runs have more adults than others. And so you could go out one day and catch 15 to 20 half-pounders on a fly rod or a light spinning rod. And, you know, the biggest might be 16 inches, and the next day you'll go out and you'll get the same number of 16 inches and 3 or 4 or 5 adults, you know, 3 to 6 pounds. So that's about the most fun you can have fishing right there. A lot of action, even from the smaller fish. So now back down to the salmon fishing. Again, I talked to R.J. Waldron, who did a little dove hunting yesterday, about the salmon fishing out of San Francisco. RJ, you took a little break from salmon fishing and went dove hunting, and how did you do with your 15 shells?
I didn't get one bird for each one. It was slower for us this year, Bob. We had some shooting. We had some missing.
What area did you hunt, RJ?
We were in Galt.
Okay.
and we hunted over some Sudan grass and some ponds and stuff there on a ranch. And, you know, there was some flight, but definitely I would say slower than our typical hunt there. So, but everyone had a good time. We had a good barbecue and cooked up some wild game. We had elk burgers and duck sausage and that kind of stuff.
Well, real tough day, RJ.
Oh, yeah.
How's the salmon fishing been up to now?
I think that it kind of hit a little slow period this week. There was some good scores, but there was some, you know, some kind of mediocre scores.
I checked your score a couple days ago. You came in with limits.
Yeah, we've had some good fishing, but I can tell you that we're taking advantage of our opportunities. You know, when we do get hookups, we're not losing many fish, and that makes a big difference. It's a little bit easier for us because we only have the 6 rods to worry about, and some of the bigger boats, you know, they lose some fish because they get tangled or, you know, going to another rod.
Sure, yeah.
So, but yeah, we've definitely been taking advantage of our opportunities. I did get some reports from today on my way home here. I've been calling some friends, and sounds like there was some fish again on the south side, you know, Muscle Rock and fish at the channel and also above Duxbury Buoy today. So same kind of thing over the last couple of weeks.
So the whole gamut out. From south to north to south, huh?
Yep, that's right. So, and definitely some bigger fish are starting to show up. There is the batch of small fish on the south side still, but there's definitely some bigger fish in the mix. You know, the middle of the week, there was a couple days that were really good fishing at the channel, and I think that's kind of subsided a little bit, and it could be tide related. You know, we had some slower tides this week, so
yeah.
You know, I imagine next week, next set of tides, the channel and the edge of the bar ought to be really good, but you know, time will tell.
Are any of the boats? I'm not hearing this so much with the smaller boats, but I've heard there's been a little bit of a problem with sea lions.
We have not experienced that. I know that there is a couple other boats that, you know, party boats that have had a little issue the last week, and that's location. You know,
sure.
You know, Duxbury, you know, is kind of infamous for that, and same with the channel. You know, they live out there.
Those sea lions, but they're smart. I think they target those party boats.
They do. They follow them around, and it's funny because, you know, it's kind of it's funny when you have a sea lion following you. A lot of times, you know, a guy will try to get right next to you and see if he can pass them off. It's a little game they play with each other. Oh yeah.
Oh well, something we have to live with.
That's right.
You know, they're starting to pick up fish in the upper river up by Red Bluff now, and you know, just like you had your projections of a horrible year in the ocean, they had a projection for a pretty poor year up there. It was supposed to be mostly jacks, and already it's a better year than it was this time last year. I'm seeing a lot of similarities there.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, everyone obviously is really excited about the season we've had so far, and I think the rivers are going to see a good run and the next month here, and I think we still have a lot of good fishing ahead of us for the rest of the season. I mean, that's what it feels like, anyway.
That's RJ Waldron. He skippers the Sundance out of Emeryville. Book a trip through Emeryville at area code 510-652-3403. It is definitely still going on in the ocean. Back with Mr. Dan Bakker right after this. Well, a guy that stays pretty hot all the time, let alone in this type of weather, Mr. Dan Bakker on the trail of always something new for us. Let's find out what he's come up with today. Good morning, Dan.
Bob,
how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I couldn't stand the heat, so I went up to Rucker and Fuller Lakes to check out what was happening up there.
Yeah.
And when I went up to Fuller, there was nobody on the lake. I didn't even fish it, but I just hiked around and checked it out, and I didn't see any fish, any rising on the lake for you know, flies. But there was a couple fly fishermen that were going to go out in a canoe, But that was it at Fuller. It was, like always, it was full in cold water, always cold water. It's always a good place to try for trout.
Well, they take that nice cold water out of Bowman, and that's where the canal empties into.
Yeah, and that's one of my favorite lakes up there. And then I went up to another one of my favorite lakes, Rucker, and it was in real good shape, nice and warm like it always is this time of year. And there was nobody fishing on it, just like there was nobody fishing at the time I got there on Fuller. There was just people getting ready to fish. So I tried fishing my old spots, and water was super warm. I couldn't, and there was no fish biting, but I went to the dam, and this is just right before dark. This is a late afternoon, evening trip that I made up there. So, and I landed three fish, you know, there were 14, 13, and 12 inches. And that's nice size for that lake.
You bet.
I mean, they get up to 6.5 pounds, but it's funny. I didn't look any of the usual 9 to 12 inches that are there.
Well, that's mainly because the department doesn't plant that very much at all.
No, that's bass.
Oh, bass. Okay.
That's black bass.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no trout in Rucker.
Yeah. There used to be, you know.
Well, they planted, back in 1985, they planted Goose Lake red bands because they tolerate the warm water. But where I located the bass was right in the channel at the dam where the creek water goes out below the dam.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure the bass were hanging around there to get cooler water and probably getting some, scarfing up on some food. But those fish are so fat, man. They're fat, real healthy, beautiful, green-looking. They're some of the most beautiful largemouth bass I've ever seen.
It'd be interesting to see how big they would get with a longer growing season, huh?
Yeah, but they do get up. I've heard of them getting up to 8 pounds, and the largest I got a picture of is 6.5.
Yeah.
And the largest that I've seen there is 3.5.
Uh-huh.
But most of them are 8 or 9 inches up to 12 inches, and then you get a good showing of 12 to 15-inch fish at times. The other thing that's in there is some green sunfish and some brown bullhead catfish. I brought a friend of mine up there back, 7 years ago, and he got like a 16-inch catfish, brown bullhead, and then lost. I mean, he tried to pull it up over the dam, and it came off, but it was much bigger, so probably about 2.5 pounds.
Yeah.
And so that's the three species that are in there. But what's funny is the bass are the most abundant species. You think there'd be more green sunfish and more catfish in there, but they don't seem to be anywhere near as abundant as the bass.
Well, of course, the bass are going to eat the green sunfish when they're little kids, you know?
Yep. And they're going to go feed on the catfish, because they spawn right at the dam. They spawn in those rocks at the dam. When I was up there, you could see the catfish. Not this time, but previous time I've been there, you could see the bigger catfish that were still watching next to the nest. The catfish that had just emerged from the nest, and these little green sunfish were nipping at them, and the big catfish would go chase them, you know.
Yeah. Hey, you didn't happen to go into further up the road up into Lindsay Lake and Culbertson and all that kind of stuff?
No, I never did. And I plan to do that sooner or later. I'd also like to go to the Lake Valley, see how the catfishing is there.
Yeah.
It hasn't been great catfishing. Usually when I go catfishing there, I end up catching trout. So that's been the way it's been the last few years for me. But well, I guess last year I went up there and I got a really nice catfish. You know, there's some bigger catfish in there. I mean, like 1 to 2 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. And both those lakes, Rucker and Lake Valley, in addition to the smaller catfish, you know, they have decent sized cats for those lakes. At least for that high elevation lake. And also those bass are really good size at Lake Valley for the elevation that it's at, which is nearly 6,000.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's, even though it has a short growing season, as soon as that lake ice is out, it's 70 within a month. You know, I mean, that thing goes from iced to really warm water. I've never been to that lake when it's anything but warm, and I've been there anywhere from June to September. You know, I mean, it's just you never wear waders there. You go out in your shorts or your long pants and get wet with tennis shoes.
But you know, there's a lot of lakes around that have bass. These are largemouth you're talking about, though, right?
Yeah, there's no smallmouth in there. I kept hearing rumors of smallmouth, but they're none in that lake.
Yeah. But smallmouth, I mean, they're in lakes all over there. You know, Eagle Lakes down out of Cisco Grove. And, of course, you know, Stampede and Prosser have good populations of smallmouth. So does Union Valley Reservoir.
Yeah.
You don't ever see anybody fishing for them.
No. And they're not easy to catch at either Union Valley or Stampede.
No.
And people say it's because of the clear water, but nobody's really figured out why they're so hard to catch. They're real elusive. I mean, there's other lakes that have clear water, like Folsom, and they're a heck of a lot easier to catch there.
Yeah. Well, but it's not as clear. That's the thing.
So. And I didn't get, I was intending to go over to that big confab at the Capitol about that habitat plan, but
yeah,
I forgot, and then I realized it, and then I got the press release. But I wanted to go support the fact that they're doing some collaborative work. But on the other hand, I just I thought of seeing John Laird there, who's the worst ever natural resources secretary, and basically all they're doing is covering their behinds.
They're covering their behinds with this whole thing, and it's shameful. They're not good people in their position, and we know it, and I can't wait till they're gone.
I'm with you on that.
Mr. Bakker, you have a good 3-day weekend.
Okay, bye-bye.
See you later. Dan Bakker of the Fish Sniffer. After the news break, we'll be back with a salmon report on the feather. Welcome back to the second hour of the KPK Outdoor Show. I'm Bob Sims. Saturdays 5 to 8 right here on KPK, 1530 AM and 93.1 FM. Well, salmon fishing has maintained in the ocean. It's dropped off a little bit. Fishing in the Sacramento River up toward Redding has picked up quite a bit. But it seems like everybody wants to go to the feather, and for that, we talked to Rob Reimers of Rustic Rob's Guide Service. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning, Bob.
Everybody wants to go to the feather. What's that all about?
Well, that's where we're getting the fish, is on the feather. I mean, up there by the outlet, we're doing pretty good. I mean, yesterday, they were just banging the heck out of them up there.
Yeah.
You know, so, and then we're starting to see more fish showing up down in the runs and even down by Gridley, and starting to hear about more fish showing up in the Yuba City area. I've been talking to some guys, been going out, picking up some fish there. So we're starting to get a lot of fish showing up.
You know, the thing I think about is the outlet. That's where you go to catch fish, but that's like fishing in downtown Sacramento. You don't have the homeless on the feather, but you've got a million other people. You got the bank fishermen, you got crowds there, but you still catch fish. So when you tell me you can go from the outlet down and cherry pick the runs and the riffles all the way down and catch fish like they do on the upper Sacramento, that really interests me. That's a fun trip.
Yeah, and most of the time when I'm up there, I'm not really fishing where you were just talking about.
Yeah.
I'm fishing a couple 300 yards down below there.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
and doing pretty good there, because the fish will mill around in that white water, then they'll back up and get down the run down below there, and it's just like fishing any place else. But,
yeah, well, it's more of a quality experience down there.
Yeah, and then usually we'll go up and fish in the white water for a couple hours. You know, I mean, it's about all your nerves can take it, because, I mean, you got boats all over the place. You're playing bumper boats, you know, and the current is just, I mean, it takes a while to really figure out that current, because, you know, I mean, you're looking at that water, you know, out of the corner of your eye, and it's going one direction, but your boat's moving another direction.
Yeah.
It's really tough.
Well, the guys that fish it regularly do a good job.
Yes, they do. They do a very good job. And, you know, I'm starting to get in there and get them as well. So, but we're getting fish, a lot of fish out of there. So,
is it a row bite, a quick fish, flat fish bite? What, Rob?
You start off with flat fish early in the morning, and then once the sun comes up, then it's a row bite.
Okay. You know, for years and years and years, you could go downstream, you know, down by the rock piles and all that kind of stuff where there's access. I used to put a boat in down there, and I like to cherry pick the riffles and all that kind of stuff. But the guys that would go down in the faster water, and they would anchor in a pretty good run, even though the run might only be 6 feet deep. But these guys early in the morning would really get some nice fish, because that's when the fish are on the move and they're aggressive, and they get a little bit of white water and they oxygenated, and they just sat there and they would always get some, and they'd get some big fish doing that. You ever do that?
Yeah. It's the same thing we do. You know, we go to Chambers Hole and Charlie's Hole and different holes along the river there and do the same thing, you know, and it's the same thing I'm doing up there at the outlet. Get down below there and watch my fish finder, and I get right in an area where I'm getting a lot of oxygenation in the water, and the fish are laying down there, you know, they start moving up, you know, as it starts to get light, and I catch fish there.
Well, it's you know, it's a phenomena. We can never tell what's going to go on. I mean, it was predicted not to be a very good year this year in the American and the Feather River. It seems like it's a much better year than last year already.
Well, yeah, it seems to be, you know. But they just don't really want to admit that, you know, trucking does help, you know. But the Feather River guys have been trucking for a long time, and they know that it works. And you know, that's what they're doing, and it's helping out a lot. The Sacramento River guys, they don't seem to want to admit that the trucking does work.
Well, they're afraid those fish don't imprint, because they've got much farther to go. You know, it takes them a long time to get from Battle Creek clear on down to, you know, the bay. And they imprint with the water in the Sacramento so they can find their way home. And they're really concerned about those fish going up other rivers, like the American, like the Feather, which probably happens, but in the state of the salmon being in such dire straits, you'd think they would do anything just to make sure we had the salmon.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the trucking is why the fishing's so good in the ocean. They're not expecting good runs to come back up the Sacramento River, which is what our club's working on to solve that problem by pumping more water through the hatchery, Sacramento River water, through the hatchery up there. And we believe that that's going to alleviate the problem. But, you know, we'll just have to wait and see in the future.
Yeah, just have to wait and see is right. Is it getting crowded out there, Rob?
Oh, man, yeah. It's up there, it's getting pretty crowded. You know, you're probably better off fishing down lower, you know, like going out of Gridley, fishing in there. But up there at the outlet, it's crowded. The guys on the bank, it's shoulder to shoulder all the way around there. And yesterday, we had the most boats I'd seen in there. We were just really playing bumper boats.
Yeah. What's the water temperature up there?
It's about 65 degrees, just below the where the water's dumping in from the outlet.
You know, if I remember last year we were talking like 72 degrees.
Yeah, you know, it. Well, they're pushing so much more water out.
Yeah, right, exactly.
From Orville, because they want to lower the lake, or that's what they claim, you know. But, you know, normally, you know, elevation wise and Boyd's Pump is what I usually watch. And normally it's about 30 to 31 feet, where this year it's been 32, 33 feet.
Yeah.
And I think that extra water is.
That's a lot of extra water, too.
Yeah, yeah.
So the feather is kind of an early run. When does it usually peak?
I would say it usually peaks probably the end of September.
Okay, so we got a month.
Yeah, and then, you know, I still catch them, you know, right all the way up into November. But the peak is probably, you know, from mid to late September.
Okay, I gotcha. All right, well, then we can expect the fishing to get better and better, and the better it gets, the less you have to spend time up at the outlet hole.
Yeah.
There you go.
Exactly.
Okay, Rob, thank you. Good luck this week. We'll check with you next week.
All righty.
Bye-bye. Rob Reimers, Rustic Rob's Guide Service. Now, you know, hey, a lot of people, they just want to go catch fish. They don't care about anything else. But you want a quality experience. I mean, I don't know if I would go. I mean, let's go to the outlet hole for 1 hour and then get out of there, you know? So anyway, Rob's number, 530-632-0051. Mr. Scott Laseth, after the break. Welcome back. Well, the dove hunting was spectacular in some areas and very okay in other areas, and that's exactly what it's always like. I wonder if Scott Laseth got to go hunting. Hi, Scott.
Good morning. It was very unspectacular.
Yeah? You went out
I had the afternoon hunt, and
you went out to your secret spot, no doubt.
It was in the Lodi area.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I talked to some guys that hunted around Elk Grove earlier for the early morning hunt and did well. But, you know, I haven't asked around. Well, you said people were saying they had good hunts?
Well, I checked. In fact, a salmon fisherman I had on earlier opened it in the Galt area, you know,
right,
not too far from Lodi. And he says, usually they do real well. And he says, well, we did not get limits. We know we had some good shooting, but we did not get limits.
Right.
And, of course, half of that is after 6 months of not touching your shotgun, you can't shoot worth a doggone. And,
well, I mean, where I was, we had enough guns where it would, if a dove did come into the field and made it out alive,
yeah,
that was a major deal.
Well, I didn't say everybody couldn't shoot. But anyway, but then another place up out of Red Bluff that usually just really spanks them. Well, they got a lot of birds, and they filled out when they went out last night for their evening. But several people got limits in the morning, but a lot of people didn't get their limits. But we have to realize with the limits jumping from 10 to 15 like it did a couple of years ago, that's substantial.
Yeah, I was a little shy of 15. I was only 13 shy of 15 myself.
13
so.
Shy of 15.
Yes, yes.
And two boxes of shells later.
No, it's four shells, two birds. But that was just not, wasn't, you know, it might have been the air quality. Maybe they just couldn't breathe yesterday.
Yeah, I believe that. Oh, well. So, and you had other people that we both know did really well right in the middle of the valley. You know,
right.
It just depends on where the crops are. Is there a safflower field nearby? You know, that kind of stuff.
Yep. Well, in honor of dove season.
Yeah.
I've got a venison recipe.
Okay,
in
perfect.
Honor of my dove season.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is just the time.
Why do a recipe for two dove?
Right. I need two crackers. So I've got a venison recipe, a venison salad recipe. It's a Thai noodle venison salad recipe. And this is all about marinating. And, I always want my venison to taste like venison. I don't want a marinade that disguises the flavor of venison. And this I'm going to read you the ingredients on the marinade and dressing, but I'm going to go really fast because nobody's going to write this down. Go to the website. It's got soy sauce, orange juice concentrate, fish sauce, sesame oil, olive oil, sambal or sriracha, cilantro, mint, lime juice, garlic, a little ginger. Did you get that?
I got it all written down here.
So you get the idea. It's kind of a Thai ginger marinade.
Mm-hmm.
Take the venison, leave it in that marinade for several hours, at least 4 or 5 hours. Slap it on a grill, get it rare to medium rare, and then just let it rest for a few minutes. Take that dressing and toss it with some thick Thai noodles, English cucumber, red onion, tomato, a little bit more cilantro, some salt and pepper. And it's the same dressing that you use for marinade. Toss that all together, slice that venison, put it right on top, maybe a little sprinkle of something hot and spicy, a little jalapeno on top of that. But it's really simple. It's really cool. And the recipe is on the Sporting Chef website. If you go to, it's called Venison Grilled Venison Thai Noodle Salad.
That sounds wonderful, great. Really.
It really is good, especially for weather like this, when it's really hot and whatever. But as hot as it was yesterday for the dove hunt, I'm still thinking, in the Southeast, I've hunted the dove opener before.
90% of humidity.
Completely drenched with sweat. It was still better yesterday than now. So you got that.
Thank you, Scott.
Talk to you next week.
Got it. Thanks. Scott Latheth, thesportingchef.com. Well, I talked to Alan Bruza up at the Sportsman's Den in Quincy, what to expect this weekend in the Quincy Gold Lakes region. Alan, a big weekend, everybody trying to fit into the same space, but there's a lot of country up in your neck of the woods to do that. Let's talk about a place that maybe is not the coolest as far as weather, but we just don't hear much about this summer, Davis Lake.
Well, you know, Davis Lake, it's still... It's an early morning thing for very few fish. They're picking up bass. They're picking up some bluegill. And a little activity for the fly guys in the morning. By 9 o'clock, it's over.
It is just flat over for everybody, huh?
Yeah, no, it's just rather hot right now. I would get up high in elevation. I would more or less go up to the Gold Lake Basin, enjoy yourself up there, at sardine, salmon. And there was a plant up there at Gold Lake, too. That's the place to be, high in elevation right now.
Sure, and it doesn't matter. It's still an early and late affair as far as fishing concerned, right?
Well, you know, everywhere right now, you know, with this heat, this is really unusual, you know, for the Sierras right now. Bucks Lake would be another, you know, good place to fish. The kokanee fishing still is, you know, pretty good.
It's hanging on.
It's hanging on, and they're dropping the lake, and so some of the channels are starting to show, like Bucks Creek Channel and the Mill Creek Inlet. That's a good early morning. I had some guys in here last week that did very well at Bucks Creek Inlet, just fishing bait off the bottom, or you can bring your float tube
for
up.
For rainbows you're talking about.
Yeah, rainbows and browns, actually. And you can bring your tube up and do some fly fishing with an intermediate line or some dry fly activity in the Mill Creek Inlet, and that would be only in the evening time.
Yeah, and that's going to get better. The minute this heat starts to let up, that's going to get better by the day.
Oh, yeah. You know, when they start dropping the lakes, and it starts cooling down, these fish come into the inlets, and you can just have a ball when everybody's back at school, and there's really just the true fishermen that, you know, come up and, you know, hit this area.
Yeah, yeah. Tell me this, is back to the Gold Lakes Basin. Since the Department of Fish and Wildlife really failed Northern California this year, and, of course, they did have some excuses with the drought and some hatcheries going down, but they did nothing to recover from it. But that's beside the thing is, how do some of the hiking lakes do? Like Wade's Lake, that used to be the best of the bunch.
Well, you know, there's a couple of lakes that I'd like to fish. And in my younger days, I was up there all the time. I hiked in my float tube and I fished Grass Lake. Nobody around. Everybody's just hiking. I'm there by myself. getting some rainbows and brook trout. That is absolutely stunning up there. Wade's Lake and Jameson Lake and Eureka Lake.
Yeah, yeah.
Those are all beautiful areas to fish.
Has the fishing maintained there, though?
You know, in the drought years, it hurt it. But, you know, it's coming back right now, you know, with this high water and everything. And, you know, it's not like the old days. There's no question about it. I got some pictures in my albums of some browns that I've taken up there that are just for high altitude, they're absolutely gorgeous.
Uh-huh.
But if you like to do a little hiking and if you got a lightweight float tube, you know, it's the place to be.
Okay. Last time we talked, you talked about the Hamilton branch not being very good. Has that changed?
That's changed.
The Hamilton branch of Lake Almanor.
Right. The fish finally moved in. The lake is still high, so there's not really a lot of room to fish, you know, down there. But if you get a spot, the fish are kind of averaging about 2 pounds. 2.5 pounds this year, and but you know they're aggressive fish, and just after this holiday, with this heat, there's going to be more and more fish moving into that cold water.
That's Alan Bruza of the Sportsman's Den in Quincy. You can contact Alan 530-283-2733. They did plant last week. Gold Lake and Salmon Lake and Sardine Lake. So those are the main three lakes in the area. The other lakes, like Snag Lake, Haven Lake, unfortunately, they just don't get paid much attention to. However, it's cool up there, so you'll enjoy it. After the break, Mark Wilson. Well, the stripers are picking up again. And that's good news. They've been there all along, but they've kind of been confined to certain areas, or they've been small. Now they seem to be there a little bit more spread out and a little bit bigger. And, of course, guy that knows all about that is Mark Wilson. He joins us now. Good morning, Mark.
Hey, good morning. Yeah. You know, last time we talked about stripers, I had a pretty rough day last Friday.
I know you did.
I could only muster up a couple fish. So I figured it out. Now I'm zigging when I should zig. And I'm zagging when I should zag, so not doing that opposite thing.
Took you long enough to figure that one out, didn't
it? Oh, I'm 75 years old, figured it out.
Uh-oh.
Got it down pat now, at least the last two trips. Anyway, I made three trips last week, mm-hmm. One of them for smallmouth. Monday, I decided to go smallmouth, and my electric trolling motor died on me, not died, it was dead. I couldn't get any power to it. Left, right turns, yeah, but no blade. So anyway, I just drifted the river, and three of us, we casted rubble worms into the rocks in Steamboat Slough, and we wound up catching about 80 or 90, just drifting the river with the current and start the main motor up just to maintain, you know, once in a while to maintain distance from the bank. And we got 13 keepers up to 14 inches, smaller fish than I'm used to, but we had quite a bit of action.
And
for you, some speed traps. And
let's remember, Mark, that for you to be able to do this, your old friend the wind couldn't have been blowing very hard.
No, actually, there was just a little breeze, and aluminum boats are affected by breeze even. And it drifted me a little bit, but no, there was no wind. It was hot. Monday was one of those 108, 109-degree days or something like that. We quit right after noon, and I was the one that quit. I said, I don't want to take anyone. I'm not trying for two more keepers. We're going in because I was sweating. We were in those trees along the Steamboat and in the narrow part. It was just, you could hardly breathe. Anyway, that was that day, Monday. Tuesday, a change of venue. I went down to the usual spot at Brannan Island. I trolled Decker Island. I trolled Horseshoe. I trolled West Bank. I caught fish at all three spots. The wind come up pretty good. It got splashy wet. I got wet to my socks. Or soaked to my socks, as I call it. You didn't want me to talk about the other stuff. But anyway, wound up going over the San Joaquin River, and that was a splashy trip. And we got down by the Antioch Bridge and made a troll down there and caught a bunch of fish and wound up with 13 keepers and about 15, 16 shakers and up to 8 pounds. So
that's good.
It was a good day.
Yeah.
And then yesterday I went back out again and we trolled Horseshoe for nothing. We trolled West Bank for nothing. We trolled Decker Island for nothing. Well, actually, on the West Bank, we got two small keepers and two shakers over there, finally. But the fish that were there 3 days previous were gone. So then I decided I'd head down towards Broad Slough, went down there and got into a couple schools of fish. I wound up catching 16 more keepers and about another 12 shakers. So we had a real good day down there.
Yeah.
And the average grade of fish is around 4, 4.5 pounds. A little bit bigger than what I've been catching, up to about 6 pounds. So that's good eaters. A lot of action, a lot of fun, and no big fish.
Mm. Well, that's
and one of my buddies on Wednesday got a 25-pound salmon on the West Bank, trolling deep. He moved off. He caught some fish shallow, but smaller fish, decided to move out deep and got a 25-pound salmon. So there's a chance for those, too, although I haven't hooked into any.
Well, I mean, I like to hear that, you know. You know, I've talked before, you know, when we catch these incidental salmon while we're fishing for stripers, you know, what would happen if you targeted salmon in those same areas that you hooked those salmon?
Well, let me throw something at you. It's been quite a few years ago, we used to do very well this time of year trolling for stripers up Clyde Shoals above the Rio Vista Bridge. And never saw any salmon fishermen around there. They're always up in the main scam, Vieira's on up the river, Isleton to Walnut Grove. And now those guys have come down, and they're out in the deep water by the ferry crossing and above and below.
Yeah.
They're down anchoring up and working flatfish and everything right in that fairly shallow. In fact, sometimes they're in the way when you're trolling shallow for striper. They never used to be there, but somebody figured out they can catch some fish there, and they're fishing it, and yeah, that's happening. The same thing could happen further down the river, but nobody does it.
Yeah.
Where is it, Isleton or somewhere down there, the Berkeley Piers and all that stuff? They throw spinners and
Benicia.
Yeah, I mean, so the fish are further down. I know there's more salt water down there, but
they're on their way up the river.
That's correct.
Yeah.
And you could water starts cooling down. We used to have really good luck in the river when we got down to 60 degrees. Well, it's 74 yet.
So, okay.
And it's not cooling down, so I don't expect a whole lot of salmon to be biting yet.
But yeah,
if we get off the heat wave and get into some cooler nights and cooler days, we might get it.
Okay. Mark, thank you. Let's hope
I'm going to be out one time next week, and then I'm done for about a month.
Well, that's right.
Due to eye surgery. So
okay.
I'm going to have it on Thursday, and I got to follow up Friday. You and I will talk Friday whether I have anything to say.
You got it.
Okay.
Have a good week, Mark.
All right, Bob.
Mark Wilson, doing it for stripers. Talk to Todd Sedaro up at the Creekside Lodge in Markleyville about what you can expect trout-wise this weekend there. Todd, all ready for the big weekend, the last big weekend of the summer. Of course, this signifies two things. First of all, the people that plan all summer long for their Labor Day weekend, and then the people that plan all summer long for those people to have their weekend and go back to work so the rest of us can come up and fish. So it's kind of a double-edged thing. But are you ready for them as far as planted trout?
Oh, most definitely. We put 1,800 pounds in from Oregon yesterday, 900 pounds in the East Carson, 900 in the West Carson. The average fish, 75% of the fish were 2 to 7 pounds.
Oh, boy, wow, there's going to be a lot of big fish in the rivers.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we really spread these fish out, too.
You did. I mean, I know what you've done before. You put the fish in nets and take them downstream or upstream or something like that. Did you do that with these?
We did. We were actually even walking nets across the river to the other side.
Oh, that's a great idea. That is a good idea. And put some of those big fish right in the middle of riffles and let them land where they wherever they may, huh?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. These fish were so heavy. I was doing a lot of the netting out of the truck, and we were breaking nets.
Okay. Hey, listen, I wanted to ask you about this. Heenan Lake was supposed to open today, and I hear there's a fire up on Monitor Pass. What happened?
It is towards Topaz, actually. They've got part of Highway 395 blocked off, and they've got Monitor Pass closed, and it does not look like we'll be opening Heenan Lake this weekend at all.
So you can't even get to Heenan Lake from the Markleyville side?
No, from either side. They're both blocked off.
I'll be doggone. Well, okay, but that country up there can be pretty sparse. I would imagine that wouldn't be a real long-lasting fire to you.
I just read an article half hour ago on it, and they say they'll have it contained on the 10th.
Okay, they may open up the road before that, though. You never know with them.
I would think so, yes.
Yeah, that's the Forest Service?
It is, yeah.
Okay. Okay, because, I mean, last year you opened the gate, and you had quite a crowd waiting for you, didn't you?
Opening morning, Friday morning of last year, there was 37 cars lying down Monitor Pass.
All waiting to fish for the big cutthroats.
Exactly.
That's Todd Sodero, Creekside Lodge in Markleyville, Heenan Lake, which normally opens September 1st, and you can fish it on weekends throughout the season. It's not going to open this weekend because of the fire. We'll keep you posted. The Creekside Lodge, Todd's number there, 530-694-2511. A lot of fish in that area right now, huh? Okay. We'll be back with, we'll be back with some local news. Comanche, Pardee, and some salmon in a surprising place right after this. Welcome back. Speaking of Fisherman's Friend, I talked to Jim Fernandez about what's going on around. Jim, before we talk about fishing, there's a rumor circulating around that you seem to think that this was the first time you've ever dove hunted, something like that?
No, it was probably one of the most humbling dove hunting mornings I've ever had, far more than my worst golf game. There are holes in the sky, let's put it that way.
Every once in a while that happens, doesn't it?
Oh, it does. It does. And then you take a Hail Mary shot for the heck of it, and the bird crumbles up, and you just sit there and look at it and go, now, how did that happen?
So this must mean you're going back out tonight to fill in the limit?
Yeah, I want to try and finish that morning tan that I was working on this morning.
Get 13 or 14 more this evening?
Oh, yeah. And then I'm going to put a can out front of the store out here for my bail fee. Oh, well, it was fun.
Oh, well. A lot of birds, huh?
Not as many as there should have been, but we had fun.
It sounds like it might not have made any difference.
I don't think it did would have this morning. Not for me, anyway.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, listen, let's start off with the McCallamy River. We kind of got a surprise report, and we know some salmon occasionally sneak up in the upper river this time of year, but we usually don't even think about catching them in the McCallamy this time. What's going on there?
What happens is those fish don't normally start until probably around maybe mid-October and then
yeah.
into November.
Yeah.
And, Bob, this unusual year, we haven't seen too much, but all of a sudden I've got some very reliable reports coming in that right there in the McCallamy and Consumas area, there's a lot of large fish being found in that area. And so I would tell guys if they were going to go up there, that's certainly an area that's probably
okay.
worth jigging for.
Jigging?
That's a good area to jig in there because there's so much debris.
You just lost me, Jim. we know what that means 90% of the time.
Well, the difference between jigging and snagging, but the only reason why a lot of guys go in that area and they target with that jigging, legitimate jigging, is there's just so much debris in there that if you're going to troll that, you got to really know what you're
doing. Yeah. Okay. And stripers, I hear some of the guys in the shop have been going down in the sack and doing pretty well, huh?
They have been. They've been working at West Bank and all around Decker, and it's been producing fish.
Do you hear any big fish, or not big, but like 10, 12, 14 pounds?
Yeah. Jimmy Horton comes in here for us, and super nice guy, and he's picking some up. And he said that he didn't get anything over, you know, huge up in the 20-pound class, but he did get a few 10, 12-pounders, a lot of sixes, between 6 and 8-pound fish.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
I mean, I was out a week ago Wednesday, and we caught a lot of fish and a lot of keepers, but, you know, 23 inches was, you know, the biggest, and it's fun, but you're always looking for a little bit bigger fish than that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Fish were in great shape, nice and bright. He was using, started out with shallow runners in the morning, and they changed over to some deep runners a little later, probably around about 9 o'clock or so, and they were using worm trails, and they picked the fish up. And
yeah.
One of the colors that was really good and productive, which was a little surprising, was he said he was using the rainbow pattern, rainbow trout pattern, and that seemed to work real good. So if guys have got those, they seem to be targeting that pattern right now.
I would imagine the Delta, the weather's just been a little hot for a lot of bass fishermen to go out all day.
Yeah, we've got a couple guys that go out regularly, and they just, they said this heat is just brutal.
Yeah.
It's really changing things.
Comanche trout, I see some reports are still getting them deep.
They are. 50 to 60-foot range, anything that mimics a small shad color, the guys are picking them up. Fish are in real nice shape. Some nice fish, thick body, very good.
And there's a few party kokanee still to be had?
Absolutely. That fishery is not over with yet. And you just can stay out in the main part of the lake. The fish really haven't moved upriver. Just got to kind of find them where they're at. That depth is varying. They're in that 60 to 80-foot range. Some of the males are starting to turn a little bit of color, but the females aren't. And it's still a very active bite. We have guys that are bringing fish in every day.
Jim Fernandez, a fisherman's friend. For more info, give Jim a call, 209-369-0204. After the break, we're going to talk about fishing in the city and then on to some other trout fishing destinations. California motor card. Delightful. Welcome back to the third hour of the KPK Outdoor Show. I'm Bob Sims. Thanks for being here. 5 to 8 every Saturday morning on KPK, 1530 AM and 93.1 FM. Today is a Fishing in the City program, and it coincides with a free fishing day. Yes, you can fish without a license today. No, you can't fish for sturgeon without a report card or steelhead or salmon on the Smith River, but don't worry about it. You don't have to fish for those things anyway. Anyway, fishing in the city, Don Paganelli is going to tell us all about it. Good morning, Don.
Hey, good morning, Bob.
Do you have your boater operation card?
That's what I thought. The one thing you don't get with that card is common sense.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, so talk to me about fishing in the city. What do we have, Howe Park and Mather Park today?
Yes, we are actually teaming up to have rods and bait and everything at both locations today.
Okay.
We're trying to split it up a little bit, try to give people more access to what fishing in the city offers in the way of, you know, coming out and borrowing rods and fishing and the teaching and everything else. So we're trying to relieve a little bit of the stress off of Hal, give people another option.
Yeah, that's great.
Enjoy it.
That's a great idea. And Mather Park, there's plenty of room to roam around out there.
Well, there should be. They actually had people go out there and remove a lot of foreign vegetation and stuff like that in the water. And
yeah, it was getting a little overgrown, huh?
A little bit, yeah, because we haven't been out there in a long time to do a clinic, and so they've kind of teamed up and to help us out, and they really wanted to put on an event out there, and so we're hoping to have more in the future.
Okay. Well, we'll see how it goes. So it all starts at 8 o'clock this morning?
Yeah. Well, our clinic class will start at 8:30.
At both places?
At both places. And we've got, you know, the people can sign up to borrow a rod and reel ahead of time, and then we'll put on a little class, and then we'll pass out the rods and reels and the bait, which is night crawlers.
Okay.
We stock catfish in both locations. So we're hoping people can beat the heat and come out in the morning and do a little fishing, and then have some fish for a fish fry tonight.
Yeah. I mean, you know, what a perfect weekend to do the two different locations. You know, a lot of people aren't going anywhere just because they know it's going to be so crowded and hot. But, I mean, anybody can stand the heat through about 11 or 12 o'clock. And I mentioned earlier, this is a great thing for everybody, especially for parents that really don't know how to fish. If they want to learn how to fish themselves, you're there to help them with a rod and reel they can borrow. And their kids, of course. And it's a wonderful thing for a single parent that may not have the means to take them fishing or the knowledge. And here you go. No license is needed for parent or child, and you've got the help and how to cast and how to hook a fish and maybe even how to clean a fish, huh?
Well, yeah. Well, we try to give them a little instruction on how to clean a fish, but sometimes they kind of go, oh, really?
But oh, well.
Anyway, yeah, I know. That's part of it. I mean, it's not like you went to Rayleigh's and it's ready to eat when you catch it. So. But
that's a good point.
There's a little bit more work involved after you catch the fish, but
yeah.
they seem to be good troopers about that, and because they know that's part of it. But
sure.
A lot of it's just the catching, especially for these kids, and the people that don't want to keep it. There's always people here that want them, so they don't have to release it if they don't want to, or they can release it if they want to.
Yeah.
You know, it's either way. We use barbless hooks on purpose because we don't want anybody to get stuck.
Yeah.
And then, you know,
and stay stuck.
That's right. So, you know, we talk a little bit about that and, you know, and they really don't lose these fish on barbless hooks. So, it's, you know, there's always tension on the line, and very seldom do we see fish lost, you know, with the barbless hooks.
Yeah.
So so it works out both ways.
Sure.
And, we're hoping that, this is our first time tag teaming two different lakes on the same day, so we'll see how that works out, and if it works out well, then we'll do it in the future when we know we're going to have, you know, overloaded areas.
Yeah, well, especially so. Because Howe Park, it's a great little place, but it's one of the smaller venues.
Yes, and it gets crowded fast.
Yeah,
and I already talked to a couple of people here that remember what happened the last time. So
yeah.
They got here early.
Sure.
So they could get a spot. And that's kind of what we're hoping is by splitting it up. You know, we let people know about the other ponds that we stock so that they know of other areas. And
sure.
And we have a recording, you know, that they can call into to find out what's going on. And because we have another clinic here on the 16th. And then I'll talk to you about it later. We have another one in Elk Grove on the 7th. And we're trying to do another one in October to be announced. It's not in stone yet, but and then when the water cools off, we'll be doing trout for the first time in a while.
Yeah,
which is going to be really good.
Sure. Hey, okay. Fishing in the city today. Howe Park and Mather Park, and I think you got to Lake Berryessa this last week.
I did. Try to beat the heat. Get out real early.
Yeah.
They wanted to fish for about 4 hours and still caught a dozen fish. So first time they ever caught a largemouth, they were from Texas. And they don't have many. If he could only name maybe one lake down there where there was smallmouth, but he never was able to get to it. So when he caught one, he was pretty excited. Nothing real big, just average size, 1.5 to 2 pounds, all caught on drop shot. Water temp is so hot right now that not much of a topwater bite yet. So we're hoping for that cool off to come into fall. Most of the fish are down 15, 25 feet. So, yeah, it's right now that's the ticket when you go up there. It's just drop shotting plastics, small plastics, either in shad patterns or darker patterns. And that's what we caught most of the fish doing.
You kind of threw me for a loop when you said they're from Texas and they'd never caught a largemouth before.
No, smallmouth.
Oh, smallmouth. Okay.
Never caught a smallmouth.
Okay.
And so when he caught the smallmouth, he was pretty excited. And they caught several each, so we kind of had a mixed bag going there for a little while.
Yeah. Okay. Usually you're catching bigger fish, and usually it's on a spoon bite over there, isn't it?
Well, we looked for that. Those fish haven't started to show up yet, as much as I was looking for them. I don't know if it's just water temperature, because the surface temp down about 2 or 3 feet was still in the 80s.
So, oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it's still pretty warm.
Yeah, okay.
So I'm hoping, you know, that when that fall, they feel that fall starting to come in, that those fish will start to group up and start feeding real hard, and that spoon bite will really come on, and we'll start getting a lot better fish.
Okay, Don. Well, thanks for the update on Berryessa and the fishing in the city. And if you get out this week, good luck.
You bet. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Bye. Excuse me, Don Paganelli. Don Paganelli's bass fishing experience. Book a trip, 916-502-3474. We'll be back with some American River Canyon, French Meadows Reservoir, and Hellhole stuff right after this. Welcome back. Well, I talked to Mike Cunningham up at Wilfish Bait and Tackle in Auburn, and I found out that they have a new owner up there named Craig Newton, and everybody seems to be very happy about it. Mike Cunningham stayed on, so the shop is alive and well and running, and I talked to Mike yesterday about fishing at French Meadows, Hell Hole, and some others. Mike, it's been kind of a sleeper bite for a while, but Hell Hole proved to be a pretty good lake for kokanee, and some measured kokanee to 18 inches. That's almost unheard of out of Hell Hole. Do I understand they're still biting?
Yeah, Bob, they're starting to turn right now, but they're still catching them. You're right about the length and the size. They're big fatties, 18-inch fatties. I think they're catching them on the conventional hoochies. What's really been hot this year is the micro hoochie. The glowing, the heads glow in the dark. They're pretty neat. If you haven't seen one, go see them. They're pretty impressive. they come in all the popular colors.
Yeah.
Now Hell Hole also, you know, don't fish Mackinac up there, or kokanee up there. They have Mackinac up there. I haven't heard any reports, but they're there. And they're fishable.
Well, they're usually just below the kokanee anyway, right?
Right. Yeah, that's their favorite food.
Yeah.
And we have, you know, they have big brown trout up there in Hell Hole, too.
Yeah.
So, you know, if I was fishing brown trout, I'd either use big Rapalas, or I'd be using threaded nightcrawler behind a Dodger.
Yeah. I think the brown trout, the best of that is just around the corner when things cool off a little bit,
cool off a little bit, I think you're going to see better trout action up there, absolutely.
But listen, the lake I really depend on you guys for is French Meadows. How's that been fishing the last few weeks?
French Meadows has been great all summer.
Yeah.
It started off with a really good brown bite, and then it kind of turned over to rainbows. And they're still catching rainbows, all the conventional ways. I talked to a good customer just a couple days ago who was up there fishing. He says fish right down the trough, right down the middle of the lake, deep part of the lake. You can fish all the conventional ways.
Rapalas, exactly.
Broken back Rapalas, threaded night crawlers, all work.
It's always been that way at French Meadows. It's just such a great lake.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And the inlet. You know, I don't forget the inlet up there.
Yeah.
If you're a bank fisherman, I would tell a bank fisherman to fish towards the inlet.
Especially as the sun starts to go down, huh?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, same with French Meadows, and you're okay from the bank. But
yeah.
In the afternoon, like some of those high lakes, the wind picks up. So
yeah.
Be careful if you have a small boat up there.
Well, let's drop down in elevation a little bit, Mike. Talk to me about Bullard's Bar.
Bullard's Bar is just, gosh darn it, Bob, you know, the last couple of years, Bullard's has just been on fire. All breeds of fish.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what you want to catch, from catfish to kokanee, you know, and in between.
Yeah.
And geez, what's the world record smallmouth bass this year?
Yeah.
You know, or spotted bass.
Spotted bass,
sorry.
Yeah.
You know,
it seems like they break that record every year almost, huh?
Every year they break it up there. So Bullard's is just like a fisherman's paradise for whatever you want to catch.
You know, I heard the kokanee bite there slowed down a little bit,
really
Mike.
Good, but really small, Bob.
Yeah.
Not big fish. I heard if you're catching an 11-inch kokanee out of Bullard's, that's
yeah.
Big this year.
They're a little bigger earlier. Maybe those fish went up to spawn. Hard to say. You know, that lake is kind of an early lake anyway. What about the streams up above Forest Hill, the different forks of the American way up? You have guys that come in the shop that do pretty well up there. This has
Absolutely.
Been a good water year up there.
Yeah, did have a customer come in last week. He was buying some Panther Martins, and he said he was dropping in the river on the middle fork, an area called Rucky Chuck, which
oh, yeah.
is real popular for they take out rafts and,
mm-hmm.
At that point from rafting the Middle Fork, and he's walking upstream. He says he's been doing fantastic with big rainbows up there, and he says there's nobody up there, nobody fishing those pools.
That's Mike Cunningham at Willfish Bait and Tackle, now under new ownership, and congratulations to Craig Newton. That number, 530-887-0839. I talked to Kirk Portocarrero. Salmon fishing is finally going great on the Upper Sac. We talked about that and some dove hunting. Kirk, I want to talk about the salmon fishing because I know that has really improved, but you're on your way back out to the ranch. You had
yep.
a bunch of hunters out dove hunting today. How'd they do?
Oh, they did really well. You know, we've been doing that hunt for 25 years, and it was surprised me, and we got quite a few birds working the fields, and it was really, really, really good morning hunt. So we're going to go back out and give it a shot again for the afternoon.
And so those that didn't get their 15 birds can fill out tonight.
Correct. Yes, sir. Huh?
Yeah. Are you going to do a little shooting yourself tonight?
Yeah, I just got some shotgun shells, and hopefully I'm going to go out and do some shooting myself since everybody did really well this morning. I usually don't shoot unless guys do really well, and I'm going to go out and do some shooting tonight.
So you got your 3 to 4 boxes of shells to get a limit, don't you?
Yes, sir. I brought 15 shells.
Yeah, right. So talk to me about the salmon fishing. It just went boom, took off.
Oh, yeah. I would say for the last 2 weeks, I've done really well. This last week has been anywhere from 5 to 11, 10, 12 fish a day. It's, you know, one day you'll get 7 or 8. Some days you'll get 10 hookups and you'll land 8 fish, or you'll land 10 for 10. I've had really good success, and we've gotten some real big adults. My biggest so far is 27 pounds, but they're just gin bright right now. Really, yeah. Really pretty fish.
Yeah. Now, you sent me some pictures and some really nice fish in the teens, you know what I mean? Like the you know,
right.
16, 18, all that. And then some smaller fish, but even the smaller fish, I don't know if they're jacks or just small adults, but they still look pretty good size. How big are they running?
There are eight to 12 pounds is what the average is right now.
Okay, well that's a good average.
Yeah, today Justin fished. He had a 5 fisherman, and they landed 8 fish, and those fish averaged about 8 pounds. They were all in the smaller range. Some days I'll get 3 or 4 hens in the group, and they're all, you'd think that they were jacks, but no, they're 10-pound hens.
Yeah, okay. Well, I mean, there's still plenty of meat on that.
Oh, they're beautiful. They're cutting so nice and red. You know, these fish are flying up right now.
Yeah.
So,
Let me ask you this. Is the best bite on roe, or is it on flatfish?
Both. Yesterday I caught I want to say three on flatfish, couple three on roe, and I'm usually going flatfish early morning, and then I go roe the rest of the day.
Okay, and that just seems to be any steelhead showing. By the way, I know it's earlier.
No, sir.
None at all, huh?
And I have been side drifted a lot of roe, but I have not got any steelhead yet.
Okay,
but I have gotten a couple stripers.
You're kidding me.
In the canyon.
You're kidding me.
I fished Trina Rapids day before yesterday. Took my guys down there. I think we had eight fish, and I said, let's go down river, see some new water, and we did, and we ended up getting a striper down there. It was only about 6 pounds, but a male, and, you know, so your shows are all the way up here.
So you didn't go down as far as, like, Lava Rock Hole?
Oh, yeah. We went all the way down.
You went below the Bend Bridge.
Oh, yeah, we went below Bend Bridge. We went through Trina Rapids, almost to Payne's Creek, and we fished those big gullies in there and picked up one fish right above Payne's Creek in that fast water, and then came back up. We ended up with eight fish that day.
How are you doing? It just doesn't seem like, this is supposed to be a down year. Unless I'm missing a guess here, it sounds like you're doing better this year.
I'm doing much better this year than last year. I wasn't getting these amounts of fish already than I was last year. Last year you had to pick apart and get, you know, three fish a day, two fish a day at this time of the year. And now this year we're doing 8 to 10, you know, it's 12, 7, you know, 5. You know, you're doing always above 5. You're always doing good. It's been really big surprise. I'm really happy, you know, with the predictions. They're nothing compared to what they were talking about. It's much better.
That's Kirk Portocarrero of Sac River Guide. It's going. It's happening up there. His number to book a trip, and you better be quick because he does fill up, 800-670-4448. Welcome back. Well, last week we had Paul Berlinger on talking about this Poudre Creek Restoration Festival, Poudre Creek Restoration, and this big festival coming up next Saturday in Davis. And this thing is really getting to be a Poudre Creek itself, a really class trout stream, thanks to the effort of these individuals and groups. And it never was a class trout stream when the Department of Fish and Wildlife was managing it. And but they've taken it over, and that's why this festival is important, because it's a good fundraiser for them. And this is not just for fly fishermen. Now, the fly fishing clubs get involved. It's a catch-and-release water, but it's a catch-and-release. It's not a barbless fly water. You can use lures, you know. You can use a fly in a bubble on a spinning outfit. But it is catch-and-release, and that's why there's, according to a three-year-old study, I think it is, there's like close to 3,000 trout per mile now in Poudre Creek, and a few of them up to maybe 7 and 8 pounds. So that's why this festival is called the Orvis Down the Hatch Film Festival, no pun intended. And I wanted to have somebody on that was responsible for all this restoration, which is Steve Carr, who's chairman of Poudre Creek Trout. And I talked to him yesterday. Steve, there's an event coming up in Davis, September 9th, which is, I think, a week from tomorrow. And it's called the Orvis Down the Hatch Film Festival. And Orvis does this every year, but this is the first time they've brought it to Sacramento. It's also, in a way, going to be a fundraiser for your organization, Poudre Creek Trout. But what's so special about this festival? Why should we go?
Well, the films that are being shown are a variety of short subjects that cover everything from conservation efforts to destination fishing trips. They are very family-friendly films, and because of the short length, you get to see a variety of different parts of the fishing community.
So I understand there's about 10 films, and they run, what, 10 to 15 minutes each?
That's correct. And
I like that. I like that. You don't get... You might have something you're not that interested in, and, you know, just a couple of minutes away, you got something else coming up.
That's correct.
So, and that's a $20 charge to get into that. Is that part of your fundraiser?
Yes. The film has been donated by Orvis. The showing is free of charge for us. We don't have to rent the movie. And so the $20 entry fee for the film is major part of the fundraising effort. We will also have raffles, and at the end of the event, the film seat ticket will be used for a premier prize drawing. We have maybe two or three items, one of which is a Helios 3, the latest version of the Helios fly rod by Orvis.
Oh, very good.
And we also have, I think, a couple of high-end coolers, the Yeti brand, which I understand were several hundred dollars. And then, of course, we have a lot of other smaller items that will go with the regularly purchased.
Okay. So it's an event of all fishermen, fly fishermen or not, should enjoy this then, huh?
Yes, and actually, you know, even gear fishermen, because, you know, you can use artificial lures on the creek, mm-hmm. and there are a number of successful spin fishermen that fish the creek as
sure.
well.
You know, in talking to Paul last week, it became apparent this restoration, which basically you got involved in about the same time the Department of Fish and Wildlife didn't want to fight the Center for Biological Diversity when they took over the decisions on when and where to plant fish in this state. And so it might have been easier to make that a wild trout river because of that. But in the meantime, I understand there's 3,000 fish per mile. Is that still true?
Well, yeah, that's the survey is about 3 years old now. It was the last one before Fish and Wildlife felt they had enough information to do the designation as the trophy trout water. And I think the exact number or estimated number was around 2,700. But, you know, these surveys are always what they call single pass electrofishing or electroshocking events. And they're just, they don't get all the fish. So it's
like an index. You do a certain segment and then multiply that by like water.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
Now,
yes.
We've talked before about how difficult it is to restore. I mean, because of the fires in the mountains, what comes down in the spring like we had this spring with all that water is a tremendous amount of silt. It leaves spawning gravel maybe a foot underneath all this silt or more. And it's very problematic, and of course there's no gravel recruitment because of the dam. So, but you've done restoration on channels and everything. You're continuing to do that, open it up a little bit. How is the fishing now, Steve?
Actually, this time of year, it's starting to get really good. The summertime high flows are dropping to more reasonable levels, especially for wading. The fish are a little more concentrated. Between now and the end of November, when the spawning season starts, there will be a lot of fish caught, and from the estimates, about 10% of those would be fish that are 18 inches or bigger, up to the high 20s. So there are also other areas where, you know, like for kids, there's fast action with a lot of small fish, especially in the side channels where these young fish hide from their larger brethren, so they're not eaten. You can have on a good day maybe 10 fish. If you really have the fishing knocked, you may do 20 in the fall heading into the winter. And then again, it's good in the spring after the spawn. But you can fish it all year round. A lot of people fish it in the summer and do quite well.
That's Steve Carr, chairman of Poudre Creek Trout. And while he was talking there, I did a little computation. Now, if there's 2,700 trout per mile and there's 4 miles of fishable trout stream and 10% of those fish are 18 inches or bigger, there is 1,080 fish 18 inches or bigger in that four-mile section. That's what they have done. That's what makes this festival important. The film part of it costs $20. That's the only part that costs you anything. You can get it at Fly Fishing Specialties in Citrus Heights, Keeney's on Marconi in Sacramento, or if you want to get it by mail, you can just get on the web and go to Fly Fishers of Davis, flyfishersofdavis.org/downthehatch. Okay? All right. When we come back, we'll do what we have time with the June Lake Loop, Convict Lake, and the Bridgeport area. Don't go away. Welcome back. Welcome back. Well, you know, it's hot this weekend. If you're at home, the last thing you want is a hot kitchen. So just forget about that and go down and get yourself some pasties from the Pasty Shack. And if you don't want to buy them, well, we're just going to give some away right now. In fact, the Pasty Shack's going to send you a certificate for 3 pasties. Of course, you won't get it today, but too bad. They're wonderful. You can eat them there. You can cook them at home in the oven for about 40 minutes. They're a full meal. The Bavarian, the Cornish, the chicken, the chili verde, vegetarian, wonderful. Meat, vegetables, potatoes inside a thin pastry shell. They don't over-season it. You add a little salt, it just comes alive. It's wonderful. To the sixth caller at 921-1530, 800-834-1530, you will receive a certificate for 3 pasties. From the Pasty Shack, 48th and J in Sacramento. Good luck. I talked to Rick Geezer down at Ken's Sporting Goods in Bridgeport. The temperatures may be in the low 90s in Bridgeport, Rick, but it didn't stop people from coming, did it?
No. It's been fairly impressive considering the fire that we had going on up there by Topaz.
Yeah, and but... You know, a lot of people come from the south too, and that can. And plus, there's always a way to get around that. You know.
Oh yeah.
I mean, remember when the West Fork of the Carson and the 395 were wiped out? That people found a way through Yarrington and everything to get to Bridgeport.
Yeah. They always find a way.
So, what's the latest on the lake itself, Rick? Last time we talked, fishing was pretty doggone good there.
Yeah, it don't get much better.
Yeah, still
yeah.
good.
Yeah, shallows where the creeks come in to the lake. If you get the channel, fish are just full.
Well, you know, nothing like a good water year to keep those. That means everything to those lakes is that water level in those creeks.
You bet.
Yeah. So, well, that's good news. Just a little bit of fly fishermen, bait fishermen, lures, what? Everything?
Mostly bait.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay, what size fish?
Oh, anywhere from 3 to 7.
Wow. Rainbows and browns?
Mostly rainbows. Oh. The water's still a little too warm for browns.
Yeah, okay.
We see one once in a while, but nothing serious.
Huh. What about the East Fork down below the dam?
It's been doing a lot better. Water flow is still like 318. So it's a little difficult for some people to wade. But as long as you can get out there a little bit and get those nymphs down quick, they're doing all right.
It's better than having it what it was. You couldn't wait it at all.
Right. Well, a lot of people like that shooting fish in a barrel stuff, but this is good.
Well, this spreads the fish out too, doesn't it?
Exactly. They actually have to.
I mean, you don't have to just look for a certain kind of water. Those fish could be any place in that kind of water, and there's plenty of rocks to hide behind in that river.
Oh yeah. Yep.
Any good size fish been taken?
Nobody's taken any at this point, but we've seen fish up to 6.
6 pounds.
Yeah.
Wow. But the standard 16 to 18 inches still the fare?
Yeah, 14 to 18, you know. No
okay.
Problem.
All right. What's the latest on Virginia Lakes? I don't hear much about them.
They're doing good.
Are they?
Yeah, they're doing good. Yeah, and everybody's up there because it's cooler.
Yeah, well, that's what, 11,000 feet or something?
Yeah, close to it, yeah.
Good Lord. Yeah, I don't care how the fishing is. I'd want to be there right now.
Well, yeah, just find a shade tree.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, and I hear the West Fork is just fishing fabulous up and down the whole way.
Yeah. Yep. It definitely is going on.
Finally, huh?
Yeah, then the water flow got down to like 190 or something like that. It's been good.
It was just above flood stage up till about 3 weeks ago, for crying out loud. Crazy.
Yep.
I was up there 3 weeks ago, Rick, and I 2.5 weeks ago, and you'd look at that water coming down the highway, and it just looked like a froth.
Yeah.
I exactly. couldn't believe it. So, what about Twin Lakes? They've been kind of hit or miss all year, but
Lower Twin's definitely better than Upper.
Yeah.
But it's good for 3-4 days and then it quits. And then,
I'm sure that'll get better, though, as things cool down a little bit with all that clear water, don't you, Rick?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. Last question, Green Creek.
Doing good.
Finally, huh?
Yeah. Yep.
I bet those beavers were busy up there this year.
Not that I've heard.
Really? With all that water coming down?
Yeah. I think they got pushed out.
Wow. Now you made me curious. So.
Yeah, well, you know, the East Walker, I've been 36 years here. The highest flow I've ever heard of was 1,200. But the East this year was up to 1,530.
That's Rick Geezer, and that means that, of course, the East Walker going into Bridgeport is smaller. That means a whole lot of water came down that, and that's part of, Green Creek flows into the East Walker above the town of Bridgeport. So they've got three major feeder streams, the East Walker, the Buckeye Reservoir and Robinson Creek, or Buckeye Creek and Robinson Creek. So, and if the fire is bothering you, want to get down there from the north, like from Carson City or from Gardnerville and Minden, you just go down 395 and just north of Topaz, you can take 208. That goes out through Wellington and just heads south, and it merges into Highway 338 and eventually into Highway 182, goes right by Bridgeport Reservoir into the town of Bridgeport. Rick's number up at Ken's Sporting Goods, 760-932-7707. Had a report from Convict Lake Fishing. This has been one of the best years I can ever remember at Convict Lake. We owe that to the high water. The area at the south end of the lake where the Convict Creek comes in, still the best place to fish. They're getting fish up to 4 and 5 pounds, trolling anywhere from 20 to 40 feet deep out in the main body of the lake. In the June Lake Loop, all the lakes are fishing well. They've all got plenty of water. The nighttime temperatures have been down into the 40s, so early and late, you're starting to see some action for float tubers, fly rodders, you know, or the trollers trolling shallower, or even bank fishermen casting lures very early and very late in the day. But if you're going to go out and troll, for the most part, I'd start about 20 feet deep in all those lakes and then go up or down a little bit from there and see if you can catch some fish. It's such a beautiful area, and yeah, they get a lot of play in there. A lot of people love that June Lake Loop, but they plant all those lakes every single week, so there's plenty of fish there. Okay, and then even as you head north, up at Virginia Lakes, they're still planting all three Virginia Lakes, Upper, Lower, and Tamarack, and even Virginia Creek seems to be planted almost every week or every other week, and that's a small creek, but this is one of those years it's got plenty of water, like a lot of streams. So seems like wherever you go from, say, Tahoe on south, they really have stocked those streams well, and I hope it makes for a very nice 3-day Labor Day weekend for all of you.